Assalamu alaikum. Inshallah, so this session will wrap up the morning session, inshallah. So we'll try to move a little quicker. No, we'll move as Allah decrees that we move. We won't make haste and we won't be tardy, inshallah. So then he says, Imam al-Muhasibi, the writer. Oh, the book, Risalatul Mustarshidin, I never explained. This means the treatise or the message for the seekers of guidance. The treatise for the seekers of guidance. So, Istarshada Rushd, guidance. So we know this form 10 form of the verb usually implies to seek something. So, Ghafara, to forgive. Istaghfara, istighfar, to seek forgiveness. So, Rashada, to be guided. Istarshada, to seek guidance. So, Mustarshid, the seeker of guidance. Mustarshideen, the seekers of guidance. So, this is what the title, the treatise for the seekers of guidance. So, Imam Muhasibi then says, Wazdam al Adab, always maintain the adab. Wafariq al Hawa, and don't follow your, Walghadab, don't follow or divorce yourselves from following the inclination or suggestions of your soul and following your anger. Wa'amal fi asbab al tayaqqud, and act on the basis of those things that cause you to think of your destiny. Think of where you're going. وَتَحِذِ الرِّفْقَ حِزْبًا, and take gentleness as your party. And all of us, sometimes we move from this principle where we should try our utmost to always deal with people in the most gentle of ways. Because gentleness, whenever it's applied to something, it beautifies it. It beautifies it. Even in jihad, we're gentle in our treatment of our enemies. We don't try to mutilate people and just indiscriminately kill anybody. Well, we try to be and to maximize the killing because we want a body count that sounds good on the evening news. We try to minimize any killing. And we try to, if possible, not kill anybody if we can accomplish our objectives in peaceful manners. وَتَأَنِّيَ صَاحِبًا, and make deliberation or deliberateness your companion. As Muslims, we should never rush into anything. And we see whenever we rush into something, we regret it. We rush into marriage, and then we regret it. We rush into the new job without really thinking about the implications, and then we know we're in riba, or we're selling alcohol and pork, and we never knew, they didn't tell me that, I didn't read the fine print. And so we should always be deliberate and contemplative and not rush into anything. We deliberateness should be our companion. وَسَلَامَةَ كَفًا, and we should make safety and security a sanctuary for ourselves. In other words, we don't rush to leave a situation that brings us safety and security. We should make that a refuge, because this is what Allah Ta'ala has given us. وَالْفَرَاغَ غَنِيمَةً, and make your spare time a source of enrichment. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith related by Imam al-Bukhari, نِعْمَتَانْ مَقْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ السِّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاغُ, that there are two blessings most people are cheated out of, their health and their spare time. So we don't take advantage of our health and strength to worship Allah, to fast extra, to do tahajjud, the things that require strength, to maybe work a little extra and use that money fi sabilillah, and to do something for Islam. A lot of people, they get really agitated and they want to go fight jihad. And there's nothing wrong with that. But perhaps if they stepped back and really thought, you know, what are they going to do in Bosnia or somewhere that someone there can't do if they had a weapon? There are refugee camps filled with men and young men who don't have anything to fight with. So maybe if they thought and said, you know, maybe if I got another job and then used all that money to buy weapons for those people, it might be more productive. They know the country, they know the terrain, they're familiar with that land. We're not familiar, so we might go there and be a hindrance. We're getting sick, we're not used to the cold weather or trucking up and down the mountains, we're not used to it, so we're slowing things down. But those people know it. So what would be more beneficial? So we have to always try to weigh things out and maximize the benefit. In any case, we should make our spare time, he says, a source of gain for ourselves. What dunya matiya. And we should make the dunya a source of conveyance. This dunya is something to convey us from the shore of life to the shore of death. And we should pile up righteous deeds. Imam al-Shafi'i said in the introduction of Riyad al-Salihin, lines that are referenced by Imam Nawawi, usually attributed to Imam Shafi'i, he says, "Inna lillahi ibadan futana," that Allah has some intelligent servants, "Talaqu ad-dunya wa khafu al-fitana," they divorce their hearts from this world, fearing the trials and tribulations that accrue when one attaches one's heart to this world. He opens himself or herself up for trials, disappointments, setbacks. نَظَرُوا فِيهَا فَلَمَّا عَلِمُوا. He considers its state, and then when he realizes, أَنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ لِحَيٍّ وَطَنَا, that this world is not a permanent abode for any living creature. Not just us, any living thing here has no permanence. أَنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ لِحَيٍّ وَطَنَا. So reflecting on the state of the animals, the plants, we see the flowers bloom and they're beautiful, then they wither, they shrivel, they die. This is an admonition for us. نَظَرُوا فِيهَا فَلَمَّا عَلِمُوا أَنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ لِحَيٍّ وَطَنَا جَعَلُوهَا لُجَّةً وَاتَّخَذُوا. They consider it to be a vast ocean. وَاتَّخَذُوا, and they take, صَالِحَ الْأَعْمَالِ فِيهَا سُفُنَا, righteous deeds as their ships to get across. So this is how we should look at this world. This is just a great ocean. And we cross from the shore of life to the shore of death. And our ship is righteous deeds. وَالْآخِرَةَ مَنْزِلًا, and the hereafter is their final home. And we should never lose sight of this. Our home is the Akhirah. Our home is the Akhirah. Adam alayhi salam, our father, our collective father, was expelled from the homeland. And then he's told if he repents and works righteousness, he will regain the homeland. And those from his progeny, those of us from his descendants who do the same, will go back home. So when we go to Jannah, bi-idhnillah, we're going home. This is where Adam started. This is our home. And those of us who forget that we're supposed to be working to get our way back home, lose sight of that and we never make it home. We end up in the Jahannam, wa na'udhu billah. So we should never lose sight that our home is the Akhirah, the Jannah. And everything we do in this world is just something to get us back home. الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. This world is a prison for the believer and paradise for the kafir. So when you're in prison, what do you want to do? Be a good prisoner so you can get released and go home. So we want to be a good prisoner in this dunya. Worship Allah, do good deeds, Think about our home. Don't forget our home. Don't forget the good things that are waiting for us when we get home. So we work hard to be a model prisoner, and then we're released from our imprisonment, and we go home. وَقَالَ الْحَسَنُ الْحَسَنُ الْبَصْرِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَمْ يَجْعَلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ رَاحَةً دُونَ الْجَنَّةِ Hassan, he said that, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that Allah has not made for the believer any source of rest or comfort except the Jannah. That's when we rest. So this world is for working. So when you're working and you're the only person that's putting the time into the MSA, you're the only student that wants to get a Muslim club in your high school, keep working. It's for Allah and it's for the benefit of your soul. And if someone joins you or not, that's not your problem. One of the great scholars of Syria this century, Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Qassab, rahimahullah, he went away to Egypt. He was from Dar Atiyah, which is a small town between Damascus and Homs, closer to Homs in Syria. And he went through the Azhar system until he became Sheikh al-Azhar. And then he left that. He said, I have to go home and teach. So he went back to Dar Atiyah. So this is a world-class scholar, a great alim in every sense of the word. And he sat in an empty masjid, and he opened up his books, and he taught to the walls. And people saw him, and they say, you know, Sheikh, have you lost it? He said, look, he said, I've been commissioned to teach, so I'm going to teach. And whoever listens, listens. And in time, the masjid filled up and overflowed. But when he started, he would give lessons to the walls. Because he's not commissioned to listen. He's commissioned to teach. So if people listen or not, it's not his problem. So we're commissioned to work. If people join us or not, it's not our problem. If people respond to our da'wah, it's not our problem. We're commissioned to give the da'wah. And the benefit and reward comes from Allah, not from the people. So we have to put things in their proper light and then get on with it and just work. Then when we get to the Jannah, we'll have rest and comfort and relaxation. And if we're from the people of Jannah, we'll start in our graves. The comfort and the blisses. وَحْذَرْ مَوَاطِنَ الْغَفْلَ And beware of the places that lead to heedlessness. Like our living rooms. If the wrong instrument is there. Avoid places of heedlessness. وَمَقَاتِلَ الْعَدُو And avoid the ambushes of the enemy. The ambushes of shaitan. We have to look out. You know, we're moving through this spiritual wilderness and there are booby traps and ambushes that are set up for us. We have to be mindful of that. We just don't walk through a minefield like we're trying to imitate the Incredible Hulk. We're in a minefield. We have to take care and watch where we put our feet. Watch where you put the foot down. Because you could always step on the wrong thing and boom. So there are booby traps and there are ambushes that shaitan has set up for us. We have to be mindful of them and try to avoid them. As Allah Ta'ala says, that Satan is an enemy unto you, take him as an enemy. Consider him an enemy. So we be mindful of that. وَدَرَارَةَ الشَّهْوَةَ And beware of the ravages of the lust. Because these things can devastate us. So we have to be mindful and always step back, as we said, and fight it, oppose it, put the barrier up, push it away. وَأَمَانِيَ النَّفْسِ And beware of the aspirations of the nafs. Because the nafs aspires in an untrained state to that which is not beneficial for us. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةُ بِالسُّوءِ The nafs commands with that which is wicked. So we have to be conscious of that. And we have to work to restrain our nafs. And when we do it, what happens? وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. The one who fears the station of his Lord and holds back his nafs, prevents his nafs from following the inclinations of his soul, إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Jannah will be his final abode. So we have to always be mindful. فَإِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ عادائك نفسك التي بين جنبيك. That the most wicked of your enemies is the nafs between your two sides. That's the most wicked of your enemies. So we should be mindful of that. وإنما صارت عاد عدائك لطاعتك لها. And she became the most wicked of your enemies because of your obeying her. That's how she became your enemy. So by not obeying her and then subordinating her, she becomes our friend. Because she begins to cooperate with us and to push us towards the good. So we start out like the nafs that's inclining and leaning us and pushing us towards the wickedness, and we end up like the nafs, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ. The contented nafs, irji ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiya. Go back to your Lord, well contented, and He contented with you. Fadkhuli fi ibadi. Enter amongst my servants. Wadkhuli jannati. Enter into my paradise. So there's a big difference between this nafs and that nafs. And how do we get from this nafs to that nafs? By being mindful, by learning our religion, practicing what we learn, seeking the advice of the righteous people, praying on time, fasting, doing extra fasting, get up to pray some in the night, to read our Quran, do good deeds, etc. And all of these things elevate us, and they suppress our nafs. And seeking the companionship of someone who has made the journey from this nafs and that nafs, and they help us to make the journey. Wallahi, as they say, Wallahi ma aflaha man aflaha illa bi suhbati man aflaha. That those who have succeeded have only succeeded by being in the companionship of those who have succeeded. And the Sahaba called as Sahaba, why? Because they were in the companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is why this deen will never be conveyed by the internet, etc. It's only conveyed by human beings interacting with other human beings. Because by sitting in the company of human beings, you absorb from their state. And you are elevated by their state. And your heart is affected by their heart. They did an experiment. They took live heart cells. And this is mentioned by a non-Muslim, not a Muslim. And the live heart cells that they placed in a saline solution so they wouldn't deteriorate, they found when they were separated by a certain distance, they beat in irregular rhythms. When they were brought into close enough proximity without physically touching, they beat in synchrony. So they were in training, as Imam Hamza might say. They beat in synchrony. So, and Allah says, يعني وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ عَدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. That remember Allah's favor upon you, how you were enemies, and then He placed harmony between your hearts so that you became by His permission brothers. So this requires physical contact and a physical closeness that cannot be conveyed by way of the internet or even by way of a book. For this reason, the ulama, they say, al-ilmu fis-sudur wa laysa fis-sutur. That knowledge is in the hearts of people and not in the lines of books. The knowledge is in the hearts of people, not in the lines of books. And it's the hearts that open up the books. That's why dhahab al-ilm bi dhahab al-ulama. Knowledge goes with the leaving of the scholars, not with the leaving of the books. The books will be there on the shelf, but there'll be no one to unlock the book. So it's as if the knowledge that's in the book has gone with the leaving of the scholars, not with the leaving of the books. وَكُلُّ أَمْرٍ لَا حَلَكَ دَوْءُهُ بِمِنْهَاجِ الْحَقِّ فَعْرِضْهُ عَلَى الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ وَالْآدَابِ الصَّالِحَةِ. He said that every matter that manifests, its light is manifested, as you move along the path of truth, present it before the book of Allah, the sunnah of His Messenger, and adab al-salihah, and the righteous manners, or the righteous, the writings of the learned people. This is your standard. In every affair, without exception, Imam Junaid said about the teachings relating to the purification of the soul. He said, مَذْهَبُنَا هَذَا مُقَيَّدٌ بِالْأُصُولِ بِالْكِتَابِ وَالسُنَّةِ فَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْفَظُ الْكِتَابِ وَيَكْتُبُ الْحَدِيثِ وَيَتَفَقَّهُ لَا يُقْتَدَى بِهِ. Imam Junay said that this knowledge of ours is chained to certain principles, is connected to certain principles, with the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger. Therefore, whoever doesn't memorize the Qur'an and doesn't record the hadith and doesn't gain an understanding of fiqh, of the Sharia, he is not to be followed in this affair. So when Sheikh Sheikhi comes along and starts talking all sorts of wonderful things, and then someone makes the adhan and he just sits there, and then his consorts, they say, well, he doesn't have to pray, the prayer is a means, and a means is something that leads to an end, and the end, he's already gotten to the end. So you hear this stuff, and if anyone had gotten there, it would have been Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Imam Junaid, when this kind of person was described to him in another narration, he says, "Na'am wasalu." He said, "Qad wasalu wasala fulan," that so and so has arrived. He says, Naam wasalu wasalu ila saqar. He said, yeah, he's arrived all right. He's arrived at the hellfire. So they say he's arrived. So he's reached the heights. He's not responsible in Sharia anymore. He said, he's arrived. He's arrived to the hellfire. فَإِنْ خَفِيَ عَلَيْكَ أَمْرٌ فَخُذْ فِيهِ رَأْيَ مَنْ تَرْضَى دِينَهُ وَعَقْلَهُ. He said, and if some matter is hidden from you, it's ruling, then take your fatwa, your ruling, from someone you're pleased with their deen and with their intellect. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ عَلَى الْحَقِّ شَاهِدًا. And know that the truth has certain witnesses. بِقَبُولِ النَّفْسِ لَهُ. And what is one of the witnesses? Is your soul finding rest with the truth. أَلَا تَرَى لِقَوْلِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ اِسْتَبْتِ قَلْبَكَ وَإِنْ أَفْتَاكَ الْمُفْتُونَ. Take a ruling from your heart, even if the muftis give you a fatwa, especially in these days. So you ask, is riba okay? You know, if you're in America and they give you a fatwa, boom. Riba's okay if you're in America. There's a fatwa like that. Because, you know, you have to buy cars, and you have to, if you buy a car, you have to have a car note. If you have a car note, you have to pay riba. Like, you can't buy a used car, but you have to have the new car smell. So you buy a new car smell spray. Just go to your old car, close all the windows, and spray new car smell in it. So then your friends can get in your jalopy. Man, this smells like a new car, and you can feel good. Yeah, I've got the new car smell. So buy the spray and leave the river. And so he said the hadith, al-birr husnul khuluq, righteousness is good conduct. Wal ithmu mahaka fil nafs. And sin is what causes agitation within you. So you get the fatwa, but you know, that doesn't sound right. And could you, you know, it just doesn't sit right. So follow your heart. If you're making an effort to adhere to Sharia, and your heart will give you the fatwa. وَقَيِّدِ الْجَوَارِحَ بِإِحْكَامِ الْعِلْمِ. And make your limbs or your body literally subservient to implementing knowledge or to the implementation of knowledge. In other words, don't do anything until you know the ruling in it. Don't rush into business until you know, is this business you're going into lawful or unlawful? Are these transactions you're entering into, do they contain riba or not? And riba is a huge bab. It's a huge area in fiqh. So know the ruling. Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, no one buys and sells in our market except the faqih. Only the people who have a knowledge of Sharia buy and sell in our market. And Ali radiallahu anhu, he said that whoever goes into business without knowing the principles of business in Islam inevitably falls into riba. So we should know everything before the hukum of something before we get involved in it. Sometimes if we get involved, it becomes hard to disentangle ourselves. وَرَاعِي هَمَّكَ بِمَعْرِفَةِ قُرْبِ اللَّهِ مِنْكِ. And guard your focus and your concern to meet Allah by being mindful of the closeness to Allah to yourself. In other words, look at how Allah stands with you, and then you'll know how you stand with Allah. وَقُمْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ مَقَامَ الْعَبْدِ الْمُسْتَجِيرِ. And be before Allah like a hired servant. So whatever the boss tells you, you do it. Why? Because you want the paycheck. So if the boss says do this and you do something else, he's not going to pay you. You know, go to the Home Depot and buy me 20 2x4s and et cetera, and you come back. You go to McDonald's and buy them 5 Big Macs. He says, no, I want it 2x4. I can't build a house with Big Macs. If I do, it's got to be a greasy house. And you're looking there, you say, well, you know, I thought a Big Mac would make a better house. We could call it the house that Ronald built. Get out of here, you idiot. You're fired. And so be like a hired servant. Do what the boss wants. So Allah is the boss, and we're the employee, and Allah wants us to worship Him based on what the guidance He's given His prophet. If we do that, we'll get the paycheck. The paycheck is Jannah. This is the thawab, the ajr. We have an abundance in our scale when the deeds are weighed. So consider ourselves a hired slave. And look at the expression here, al-abdul mustajir. A servant isn't hired. A servant just does what the master says. But this servant gets a paycheck, gets paid. Slave labor is free labor. So a lot of the labor that goes on in our prisons, the prisoners aren't paid for it. It's slave labor. Making license plates and who knows what else. This is slave labor. So the slave doesn't get paid. This is how they say that the surplus of capital was built up for America to become a superpower. That all of that labor that was provided free by the slaves created the surplus capital that allowed America to surpass her European rivals. It's very Marxist analysis. And there's an element of truth to it. and Eric Williams, Capitalism and Slavery, if you want to really go into it, follow up the argument. Anyway, but Allah, he says in Imam al-Muhasibi, be like a slave, al-Abdul Mustajir, who's going to get a paycheck. And this is how our servitude is in Islam. So Allah Ta'ala is recompensing us in unimaginable ways. He owns us, and then He buys ourselves when He already owns us and gives us a recompense. So think about if you own something and someone owns something, a car, and lets you borrow the car, and then pays you to borrow the car. You say, man, that's a nice guy. So this is what Allah Ta'ala, He owns us. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah, and unto Him we're all returning. Lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Allah owns everything in the heavens and earth. And despite that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هَشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ. That Allah has purchased from the believers their lives and their wealth, which He already owns. And for that, He recompenses them with Jannah. So look how generous Allah Ta'ala is. So we should be like a hired servant in our relationship with Allah. Tajidhu ra'ufan rahimah. If we do this, we'll find that Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna Allah azza wa jalla yunzilu al-'abda min nafsihi bi qadri manzilatihi minhu. He says that Allah places the servant in the same place that the servant places Allah Ta'ala. So if we put Allah, give Allah a high place in our lives, we'll have a high standing with Allah. If we barely have a place in Allah for Allah Ta'ala in our lives, we won't have a high standing, we'll have a low standing with Allah. They say, Al-Jaza' min jins al-amal, that your recompense is proportionate to your action. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ فِيَعُونِ الْعَبْدِ مَكَانَ الْعَبْدِ فِيَعُونِ أَخِيهِ. Allah is helping the servant as long as he helps his brother. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. Help the deen of Allah, Allah will help you. لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Don't be like the people who forgot about Allah, so He caused them to forget about what's good for their own souls. الْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. الْجَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانُ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانُ. Is it the reward for good ever anything other than good? So if we have a high place for Allah Ta'ala in our lives, we'll have a high standing with Allah Ta'ala. وَذَلِكَ عَلَى قَدْرِ الْخَشْيَةِ لِلَّهِ. And that is based on, is proportionate to the extent of the servant's fear of Allah. وَالْعِلْمِ بِهِ. And his knowledge of Allah. وَالْمَعْرِفَةِ لَهُ. And his experiencing the reality of Allah in his life. And this is why ma'rifah is so important. We hear people talking about ma'rifah, ma'rifah. Ma'rifah is knowledge that's born from experience. And once we have knowledge, this changes the way we act. For example, if a person, we have a shop, and a man comes in, and we know he's a man, he's a customer, but we don't really know just who this man is. So for us, he's an ordinary man, and he comes into our shop, and he points to the thing on the highest shelf. I need one of those way up there. And he says, my back's hurt. I can't climb up the ladder today. Come back after 4:30. My son's here. He's young and strong. He'll get it for you. Because we're just too lazy to climb up and get it. So to us, that's an ordinary customer. Now, If we know, then the guy, he pulls out a badge and he says, well, excuse me, Mr. Proprietor, have a look at this. Commissioner, Commerce Department, Inspection Division, Licensing Division. Well, you know, I just had, wow, I feel a lot better now. And he's up the ladder because he knows this guy can revoke his license. He can shut him down. He can close his business. So now when he really knew who this man was, his whole attitude and his action changed. So when we really know who Allah is, our attitude and our actions and how we deal with Allah changes. And this is ma'rifa. So as we work and we struggle in our sincerity, and then Allah manifests Himself to us, the whole picture changes. And another example. For example, we can conceptualize Allah al-Muhyi, the one who restores life. So we read this attribute and or this name of Allah, and we accept it intellectually that life, you need a life giver, and we make a rational argument. And so if there's something living, that's proof that something gave it life, and Allah says He's the life giver, and it makes sense, and I believe in it. But this is knowledge. So this is why we say ilm is something we can conceptualize intellectually. Ma'rifa is knowledge that's based on our experience. So now we're in a car accident and we have a head injury and we go into a coma for 2 weeks. And then Allah Ta'ala brings us out. Now al-muhyi has a whole different meaning. Because now we were dead for our practical purposes. And we know there was nothing in my power that could restore me to consciousness or, for as far as I'm concerned, to life. So now when we say al-muhyi, it's a whole different meaning now than before we went into that coma and Allah Ta'ala brought us out. So the experience is what changes us and gives us a different understanding of Allah, and a different relationship with Allah, and a different meaning for the names and attributes of Allah. And this is why the aspirant strives to gain ma'rifah, or direct experienced knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it impacts, and all of it, what is it all for? Yani tahqiq al-ubudiyah, to actualize the reality of our slaveship and our total dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because at that point, with the help of Allah, we'll be a dutiful servant. Because the reality of our servitude and the reality of our need for Allah ta'ala is impressed upon us. And then he says, rahimahullah, Allah. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ مَنْ آثَرَ اللَّهَ آثَرَهُ. Know that the one who gives preference to Allah, Allah gives preference to him. وَمَنْ أَطَاعَهُ فَقَدْ أَحَبَّهُ. And the one who obeys him, Allah Ta'ala loves him. وَمَنْ تَرَكَ لَهُ شَيْئًا لَمْ يُعَذِّبْهُ بِهِ. And whoever leaves off something for the sake of Allah, Allah Ta'ala will never torment him with that thing. كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ دَعَ مَا يَرِيبَكَ يَرِيبُكْ إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُكْ. As the Prophet said, leave that which causes you doubt for that which doesn't cause you doubt. In the Sharia, so leave doubtful matters. Leave things you're not concerned, the ruling in it. And by leaving it, Allah Ta'ala will never harm you with it. فَإِنَّكَ لَنْ تَجِدَ فَقْتَ شَيْءٍ تَرَكْتَهُ لِلَّهِ. Because you will never miss anything that you've given up for the sake of Allah. We'll never miss anything we've given up for the sake of Allah. From our wealth, from a bad situation that we leave for the sake of Allah, we'll never miss that thing. وَحْمِلْ قَلْبَ عَنْ سُوءِ الظَّنِّ بِحُسْنِ التَّأْوِيلِ. This is a tremendously important point. He says, protect your heart from falling into having bad opinions about Allah and other people by putting everything, viewing everything with the best interpretation. وَحْمِلْ قَلْبِ وَحْمِلْ قَلْبِ عَنْ سُوَ الظَّنِّي بِحُسْنِ التَّأْوِيلِ. And this includes our brothers and sisters. So we see our brother, Muslim brother, walking down the street with a woman with no hijab on and dressed like a non-Muslim. So husn al-dhan, it's his sister who hasn't taken shahada yet. This is a near relative. Instead of astaghfirullah, he's the president of the MSA. A'udhu billah. This is su'ban. So everything husna ta'wil. So it's his sister. She hasn't taken shahada yet, and he's given her da'wah. Anything to ward off a bad opinion of our brother or sister. We see a brother coming out of a bar. You know, he went in to try to pull out this guy he was making da'wah to, and the guy slipped. And he told the guy, I don't care if you go into a bar, because you're studying Islam now, and you just took shahada, and you can't slip back. If I see you going to a bar, I'm going to go in and get you. And he wouldn't come out with the guy. So the brother went in to try to get someone, and they wouldn't leave, so he's leaving alone. Husna ta'wil for the ulama. Don't be like the people point the finger at Ibn al-Arabi. Like, he says kufr and shirk in his book. Husna ta'wil, he didn't write those things. He had enemies that put those things in the manuscripts. This is called death, and this is a reality. They said Abdul Wahhab Sha'rani, his enemies would change what he said before the ink dried and the books reached the market. They'll put things in that he didn't say. It's well known. The books were copied, and some of the copiers were from the scholar's enemies. He didn't know, and so we find the manuscript and it has this or that, and so we make husna ta'wil. This is death. Or this was something put in the book by his enemies. Or this is a code language we don't understand. As Imam Suyuti says in his treatise, I read it, but I forgot the name of it, concerning Ibn al-Arabi. He said, we affirm his wilayah, but if we're not qualified, we don't read his books. So we have husn al-dhan. We affirm his people of his time, affirm that he was a great scholar and a great Muslim and pious Muslim. We affirm that. And we leave the books. And we give husn al-dhan. And from the other side, the same thing for someone like Ibn Taymiyyah. Don't make takfir of Ibn Taymiyyah because you read in a pamphlet that someone put out that he was an anthropomorphist, or he said, we don't know what he died on. He might have said all that and repented, as a lot of his defenders say. Or some of those things might have been put in by his enemies. Or he said the things and with an understanding. And we don't understand his lugha. Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, there was no majaz in the Qur'an. But he said, how did it? So we say, he rejected majaz. So when he says, لِلَّهِ الْيَدْ حَقِيقَةً, that Allah has a hand and it's a real hand. So we say, this is anthropomorphism, because he says a real hand, and a real hand is one of these things, because that's the dominant usage in Arabic language. So, and we'll stop on this note because it's 12:30. The majaz, the hakika majaz division of the majority of the scholars, they say that the real meaning is the dominant usage in Arabic language. The dominant usage for a hand is this physical appendage at the end of the arm. And that other meanings are allegorical applications. So when we say he exerted the hand of power, We're not talking about this thing. We're talking about he exerted his influence. Or he came down with an iron fist, that he didn't ball his fist so hard that it was like a piece of iron and then clubbed everyone. But he implemented strong measures. So all this is majaz. Ibn Taymiyyah says there's no majaz, but instead of one haqiqah, realistic application, and then the other applications are majazi or allegorical, he says that there are several haqa'iq. So when we say, Zay ra'aytu asadan, I saw a lion. This is a haqiqah. This physical beast that we say is the king of the jungle is a real application. So he said, but there are several real applications. So when we say Khalid Asadun, Khalid is a lion, and we're talking about a courageous person, he says, this is a real application. This is also haqiqah, that this word has more than one true meaning, and that the meanings are known from the context. So, in other words, he's saying exactly the same thing the Jumhur, the majority, are saying. But he's just using a different terminology. So, the majority are saying there's one true meaning, and then there are allegorical meanings. So, when we say, I saw a lion, this is the meaning, this animal that we call the king of the jungle. When we say, Khalid is a lion, we're referring to Khalid as a brave person. This lion is a majaz meaning or allegorical meaning. But the result is one. So Ibn Taymiyyah is saying, I saw a lion, that this is haqiqah. And Khalid is a lion, this is a haqiqah. But these haqqaiq, they vary according to the context. So if Ibn Taymiyyah says, I have a hand, and it's talking about this appendage, that, and he says this is haqiqah, and then he says Allah has a hand, and this is haqiqah, but he says the hand varies according to the context. So this hand that I'm talking about with myself is not the same hand that we're talking about with Allah. We don't know what that hand is, but it's a real hand. So he's basically saying the same thing with a different language. So we have to try to understand these and understand his language, just as we make efforts to understand Ibn Arabi's language. Why? Because we want as many people in Jannah as possible. We don't want to close the Jannah. We don't want Ibn Taymiyyah in Jannah, Mujassid, Mushabbih, Mutashabbih, out of Jannah. And we want Ibn Arabi in Jannah. We say, kafir, mushrik, out of Jannah. He said, everyone's in Jannah. What he's saying is relevant, we just don't understand it. And what he's saying is relevant, we don't understand it. But they're all good Muslims, and the testimony of the people of their time bear that in. Let's all get into the Jannah and stop pointing the fingers and doing battle over things that by and large we don't even understand. So, husnul dhan bi husnul ta'wil, having a good opinion of all the Muslims by having a broad interpretation. And we should be fair on all sides. If we make husnul ta'wil here, let's make husnul ta'wil there and be consistent. And don't have the door open for some Muslims to interpret what they say in the best way and close the door to others. This is not the way of a just person. And a Muslim tries to be munsif, or just in everything that he does or everything that she does. Wat'al hasad biqasr al-amal. And remove jealousy, push jealousy away from yourself by cutting your hope short. What's the relationship between the two? By knowing I'm not going to live long and believing I don't have long to live, you don't have time to worry about who has what and what you don't have, and so you become jealous. All you worry about, I could die tomorrow, I better get myself and get my set my affairs in order. It's related that Abu Hanifa said, if someone could tell me that I would die tomorrow, I wouldn't change a thing. Which means, rahimahullah, not that he's being arrogant or assuming he's in the Jannah, but according to his power, he's doing everything he can do to gain the Jannah. And that's all we can do. And so we should try to be in that position. If someone said, we're going to die tomorrow, we'd be in a frantic, you know, calling people up, I'm sorry that I didn't pay back the money, and even though I have a big bank account, please forgive me. You know, when I called you that name last week and never apologized because you forgive me, we got 10 cell phones going at once. All right, and the list of people, you call up those people as soon as you get through, give me the phone. Please, I'm sorry, forgive me. So we should try not to be like that. We should try to be that to our power, and we're not assuming anything, but to in the, our power, we've done everything we can do. And none of us, we're not going to attain to that, but we're going to try. So we should try to the extent of our power, so that if someone could tell us, and they can't, you're going to die tomorrow, say, Alhamdulillah, inshallah, I'll have good when I meet Allah, instead of going through the mad scramble of making amends and apologizing and setting this in order and that in order. So he says, push away jealousy by cutting short your aspirations, the hope that you'll live long, rather. وَنْفِ الْكِبَرْ بِسْتَبْطَانِ الْعِزْ بِسْتَبْطَانِ الْعِزْ negate arrogance by hiding the things that will make you arrogate you in the eyes of the people. So in other words, don't unnecessarily manifest knowledge intentionally, because this will arrogate you. And people say, man, subhanAllah, I never knew you knew that, brother. You know, a lot of people don't know it, but so you hide it. And if Allah brings it out, that's something else. So Allah puts you in a position, you have to manifest it, you manifest. You have great wealth, you dress moderately, and you don't deny Allah's blessing, so you don't wear rags, but you don't wear expensive rings and jewelry and the finest of clothes and the sharpest of Brooks Brothers suits. And, you know, it's lawful, it's haram, or not? It's not haram. I'm just manifesting the blessings of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, my eyes are bad. What time does my Rolex say? You know, hide things and don't manifest things, because this will keep you from becoming arrogant and with the people. So it's the pawn to hide things that will make you pride. وَتْرُكْ كُلَّ فِعْلٍ يَطَرُّكَ إِلَى الْاَعْتِذَارِ, and leave off every action that will cause you to apologize. If you know you're going to have to apologize for something, don't do it. وَجَانِبْ كُلَّ حَالٍ يَرْمِيكَ فِي التَّكَلُّفِ, and avoid every situation that will throw you into pretension. Because a Muslim isn't pretentious. So we should avoid it in our speech. So we're talking to a class of third graders. It's a great honor for me, kiddies, to be with you on this Safar and auspicious occasion. And today we're going to talk about the reality of how the condensation which occurs in the lower atmospheric layers eventually finds its way up to the ionosphere, where tiny modules of H2O particulates gather around tiny dust particles, and then the tiny elements of aluminum molybdate, which we find at those high levels of condense. And then you're just trying to tell us what makes it rain. Oh, yes. indeed.
I mean, we avoid pretension.
And they say, balagha, the Arabs say, لِكُلِّ مَقَام مَقَال, that every situation has an appropriate level of speech. وَالْبَلَاغَ, an eloquent speech, مُطَابَقَةِ الْكَلَامِ لِمُقْتَدِ الْحَالِ, to make the speech appropriate to the dictates of the situation. This is eloquence. So eloquence is in, 24 hours a day. If thine were to understand the furthest aspirations within my lofty ambitions, then we could see why Shakespeare was truly one of the great elocutioners of the English discourse. And so we spend our life talking like that. لِكُلِّ مَقَام مَقَال, every situation has an appropriate speech. So we don't engage in تَكَلَّف for pretension. In our worship, we pray with humility and all due humility, but we don't overdo it because we think someone's watching. We pray with all due humility, and we try to be consistent in public and private. وَصُنْ دِينَكَ بِالْاِقْتِدَاءِ, and protect your deen by following those who came before. الْاِقْتِدَاءِ, following. So we don't try to come up with something new. So we protect our deen by following the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by following the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, and the trusted Imams who have transmitted this deen. And the same in our spiritual quest, that we try to follow the way of the Messenger of Allah and the way of the ulama. And we don't look for the most far out thing that, I heard that if we get, join this tariqah, that they have a dhikr where they suspend themselves from the ceiling. And wow, that must be it. I'm going, brother. Where's the shaykh? Follow the messenger of Allah. He never suspended himself from the ceiling or anything like that. So we protect our deen this way. وَحْفَظْ أَمَانَتَكْ بِطَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ, and preserve the amana or the trust that you've been given by seeking knowledge. So the trust we've been given to worship Allah, we can only do it on the basis of knowledge. So we seek knowledge. The trust to be given the Khalifa, the Khilaf of this earth, the custodianship, can only proceed on the basis of knowledge. How can we execute our custodianship over the environment, the animals, the plants? It takes knowledge, especially in these days and times, preserving ecosystems, protecting other life, preserving the trust to worship Allah in the best of ways, it requires knowledge. So this amana protected by seeking knowledge. And this is a duty incumbent upon us. وَحَصِّنْ عَقْلَكَ بِأَدَابِ أَهْلِ الْحِلْمِ, and as we have a message to stop at 12:45, and it's 12:44, we'll stop after this point. So he says, protect your intellect by taking on the adab or the manners of the people of forbearance. So what's the relationship between the two? The intellect, the people of manners, they don't become angry. Of forbearance, don't become angry. So by taking their adab and not be, they forbear with abuse. So you insult them, they say, mashallah, you hypocrite, that's all. I'm not a hypocrite and a kafir. Mashallah, I'm doing good today. Alhamdulillah. Like, man. And so they forbear. They don't, hypocrite. How could you call me a hypocrite? Don't you know who I am? I studied 12 years with Sheikh Bozo the Clown. So by taking the adab of the people of Hilm, we don't become angry. And nothing removes the intellect quicker than anger. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said to the man who asked him,
to admonish him, said, le tugdab, and he repeated it many times. Don't become angry.
So this is a function of the hilm or the forbearance that we have. So by taking the adab of the people of forbearance, we preserve our anger. And by we drive away anger, and by driving away anger, we protect our intellect. And final note, the qadi, the judge, he can't rule in a state of anger. Because if he's angry, he doesn't have a clear mind. And if he doesn't have a clear mind, he can't arrive at a clear decision. So it's haram for a qadi to rule in a state of anger. And our oaths, our contracts, etc., they're not to be made in a state of anger. So how do we, one way to attain to this state is to take the adab of the people of hilm or the people of forbearance. So having said that, we'll stop here, and that concludes the morning session. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this beneficial for us. And we'll continue later this afternoon. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا متقبلا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. O Allah, show us the truth to be the truth and give us the ability to follow it, and show us falsehood to be falsehood and give us the ability to avoid it. Wa jazakumullahu khayran. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.